There is no one like you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. I mean, it doesn't take long when you think about everything that God has done for us that you become overwhelmed with. You can become overwhelmed with all that Jesus has done. I think the key to that phrase is knowing God and knowing about God is so essential to what we are supposed to be doing as we grow and live on this earth. We talk about wanting to make disciples, and wanting to make disciples happens when you really start to know God and about God. And there's a difference in knowing about God and really knowing God. As a child, I knew a lot about my favorite quarterback growing up. His name was Roger Staubach. He was the Dallas Cowboys quarterback, and he was like my hero growing up. And I knew a lot about him. I had books that were written about him. And I knew all kinds of stats and all kinds of stuff about him, but I don't know him. And you can read this book, and you can find out all the information about God, and you can have it memorized, but unless you have a personal relationship that only comes through Jesus Christ, you'll die and go to hell. And if you do accept Christ as your Savior, and you don't put all of your effort into finding out who God is and how much He loves you and what He's done for you, then I promise you, on the day that you get to heaven, you're not probably going to be as comfortable standing in front of Him as you should be. And so we're going to talk about this morning, do we know enough? Do you know enough? And this is a question only you can answer. And I want us to think about what we know about God and how we find that kind of stuff out. But today's message specifically is going to be talking about how to really know God. I was thinking about some things that we used to do as kids. If you were raised in church, if you went to Sunday school and what they may have called junior church back in my day, I don't think I ever had junior church though. I don't think that was a thing. You got out of Sunday school and you had to go upstairs and be with your parents. But we sang songs, though, that built a foundation. We talk about wanting to build our kids' foundation downstairs, and we do want to do that. And I think the necessity of, honestly, children's ministry in today's culture is a lot of kids don't go to Sunday school. They don't. Their parents don't go to Sunday school, so we need the time during church to be able to specifically talk to our kids downstairs and really build relationships. We used to sing songs like, I love Him better every day. I love Him better every day. Close by His side, I will abide. I love Him better every day. We used to get really cute and go, I love Him better every day. Close by His side, I will abide. You know, we sang songs that ingrained truth and theology into our kids. And we are doing that in downstairs even today. But I mean, if you don't have that as a kid, I wonder sometimes, how do you really get it? Because most of us don't have songs like, I am a CH, I am a CHRISTIN. And I have CHRISTA, my HEART, and I will LIV, and I can't do the eternal leave thing. This messes with my mouth. But, you know, those kinds of things make us know about our relationship with God. We have songs like, you know, Only a Boy Named David that talks about stories in the Bible, and they build those kinds of foundations. But there are things that we learned as kids that tell us how we're supposed to live and love God and what we're supposed to do. I can remember going to camp in Miltonville, Kansas as a kid, and we used to have this children's director. His name was Uncle Lynn, and he was the most awesome guy in the world. And if you, I know there's probably one other person in this room that got to be with him, that was Beb. And we used to go there, and he had a puppet named Jocko, and he had all kinds of songs that he sang for us. And I remember he introduced us to this one song called Stop, and Let Me Tell You What the Lord Has Done For Me. And it goes, stop and let me tell you what the Lord has done for me. He forgave my sins and he saved my soul. He cleansed my heart and he made me whole. So stop and let me tell you. I'm thinking, as a kid, that was just a fun song to sing. But it's talking about the Great Commission and how we're supposed to do stuff. And do we know the stuff that is going to make it a wonderful day? I don't think just getting to heaven. And even Job said, there'll be people that get to heaven by the skin of their teeth. If you've ever wondered where that saying came from, by the skin of your teeth, that's a biblical saying of Job saying, I don't care how I get there, as long as I get there by the skin of my teeth. You know? So just getting to heaven is going to be great. But when I get to heaven, I want to know Jesus so well now. Then I get there, I don't feel any apprehension. I don't want there to be anything that, you know, that song we sang, you know, if there's something getting in the way of our fellowship, I don't want anything getting in the way of my fellowship with Jesus. And for that to happen, we have to know God and really have a relationship that works with him. So, stand with me. We're going to read a passage out of 2 Timothy. Paul is talking to one of his young pastors, but I think we can all take these words of encouragement and put them to practice in our life. So, this is my Bible. I believe that this is the infallible word of God. I will put his principles to practice in my life each day that I live. Because I read this Bible as the word of God, I will never leave this place the same. In Jesus' name. Amen. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And all the things you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. Similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of his crops. Reflect on what I'm saying, for the Lord will give you insight to all of this. Remember, Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel for which I'm suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not changed. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Here's a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Keep reminding God's people of these things. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. It is of no value and only ruins those who listen. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly divides the word, who handles the word of truth. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for words of encouragement that tell us that there are ways that we are supposed to live if we're going to be your children. Just as the athlete has to follow the rules, as the soldier has to follow orders, just as the farmer has to do the right things when he plants, and then he gets to reap the harvest. There are things that we do as Christians to keep ourselves in right relationship with you so that we can know you and so that we can serve you and we can be Jesus to this world. Help us to be willing to do what's necessary. In your name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. I get my words tangled on verse 15 because I learned it out of the King James Version. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who needeth not to be ashamed. All right? We're supposed to read God's Word. We're supposed to put it to practice in our life. And so this morning we're going to talk about what we should know. And the first thing that we should know is not a what, but a who. And we need to know God. And I know that sounds kind of simple or elementary, if you will, but I think there's a lot of people that go to church just to go to church, and they don't know God. And you can't get to heaven without a relationship with Jesus, God's Son. And so we have to learn, and we have to study, and we have to understand of who God is, not just about God, but really learn how to love God, and we need to learn about Him, His nature. We know that God loves us, and we know that He has grace. So we need to learn about His grace, number one, and we need to learn about His love for us. His amazing grace. I mean, think about it. The guy that wrote Amazing Grace used to be in his former life, before he became a Christian, he was a slave trader. He went to Africa to get slaves to bring them back to America. And when he started to understand who God was and how much God loved him, he penned the words, "Amazing grace that would save someone as awful as me." He said, "To save a wretch like me." Now that's 16th or 17th century English, but what it means basically is God loved me so much that He had His Son to die for scum like me. I mean, that's where He took that. And we have to understand that God is not a qualifier of sin. That the only sin that you have to commit to go to hell is not accepting Jesus as your Savior. You could be the nicest person that walked the face of the earth, do all the cool things, never say a bad word in your life, never steal anything, never kill anybody. I mean, you could be the nicest person that ever walked the streets. But if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ and you get to heaven, or you get to the judgment seat, I should say, God will look at you and say, "Depart from me, I never knew you."
Amen.
Good intentions are great, but I used to have an aunt that said good intentions are the best way to go to hell. And because it just makes, you know, it makes us feel good. It's like, okay, we're doing the right thing. And again, doing the right thing is wonderful. But unless we understand about God's grace and how much He loved us and why He sent Jesus to die for us, we're never going to be able to love Him the way that we should. We're just going to think, oh, God's a nice person up there. He made a way for me to go to heaven. I'm going to go to church and I'll get there. And we love having everybody in church. We want to fill every seat that we can. But everybody in this room has to know that you got to have a relationship with Jesus to live with God eternally. We all live forever. The only difference is the place. Some will live in heaven, some will live in hell. And I don't want to be one of those people. I want to be the ones that live in heaven. So we have to know God. We need to know how. And I think, again, we talk about this a little bit, but how do you start to figure out who God is? Or how do you try to understand His nature and His goodness, if you will? and all the great attributes about God. And I think the first place you have to start is spending time with people who know Him. If you want to know God, you start to spend time with people who know God. And you stop hanging around people who don't, that take you farther away from God. Now, some people that you know, that I know, that are Christians, there's a balance between, quote, idle chatter and talking about God. Sometimes you need to be able to sit down and talk about football, or you talk about baseball, or talk about quilting, or whatever you want to be involved with in life. You don't have to talk about God 24/7, but you also don't need to get wrapped up in everything that tries to take you away from God. And so spending time with people who know God is a great way to start to learn about His nature, because His nature becomes our nature as we allow the Holy Spirit to work within us. And so, but we also need to read the Bible. If there was someone in this world that you wanted to know about, that you wanted to figure out who they were, what they liked, what they did, what would you do? How would you find that out in the world in which you live today? Stalk them on Facebook, right? You know? Stalk God. Okay? Seriously, read His Word. Read the stories. See the amazing way that He works. I love the Old Testament because it really shows how God, even before Jesus came to earth, it shows how God cared about His people, how He made a way for His people, how He blessed them when they were doing the right thing, how He let them, or how He disciplined them, if you will, when they messed up. And we should not think that He's changed at all, because the Bible says that He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so that means if we follow God, we can expect Him to bless us. And if we don't follow God, we can expect Him to discipline us. And we don't like that, but it's because He loves us that He wants to keep us in line. And we need to talk to Him. We need to pray. And I believe this with all of my heart. If you will talk to God and you will ask questions and you will tell Him what you want, tell Him how much you want to know who He is, tell Him about your day. I mean, seriously, talk to Him like He was sitting right in front of you. Don't use your King James voice and language when you're praying, okay? I remember the first time I ever asked Jenna to pray in our service. And I will never forget this. Her prayer started out like this. Daddy. And I knew at that point that Jenna had a special relationship with God. Because most of us aren't comfortable enough with our relationship with God to say Daddy. It doesn't feel right. And it's probably because of the way I was raised. I'm like, got to respect God, got to, you know. But He is Abba Father. He is Daddy to us. And when you get to know Him, you'll be able to figure that out. If you want to get to know somebody, you talk to them. I know a couple who met on Tinder. And they didn't live in the same city. They didn't live in the same time zone. They started talking on Tinder. She would get up early before she went to work, and she would talk to him, and he would get up early before he went to work, and he would call her. So they talked probably 2 hours a day. And they did this for about 9 months. And they decided to get married. They'd never seen each other in person. They decided that they were going to get married. And so they met each other. And 2 weeks after they saw each other for the first time, they got married. And I know they're not going to be upset with me for saying this, because they would let me do this, and I know they would. But that couple gave me a grandchild. But I told Madison and Austin, I said, you guys probably know each other way better than most couples do, because most couples start dating and they go to a movie and they sit there and watch a movie, or they go to wherever. And, you know, when you talk and you listen and you get to know somebody, it's an amazing thing. And if you do that with God, I promise you, you'll get to know him, because he wants to know you. Then we come to the why. That's kind of how you get to know who God is. Why do we need to know? Number one, we need to know because the Bible tells us, Jesus told us before he left us, he said, go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Baptism is a representation of dying. You go in the water, you're buried with Christ, you come out, and you're alive with Christ. Paul tells Timothy, if we die with him, we will also live with him. If we endure what this world throws at us, we get to reign with him. Not just live, we get to reign with him. I do not know what that means. I look forward to finding out what that means, because it's way more than just walking around going, well, I'm in heaven. I guess this was a great reward. You know, I mean, it's going to be great. Don't get me wrong. I know it is. But when I was a kid, it was like, we're going to go to heaven and we're going to be praising God every day. And I'm like, we're going to sit in a church service every day? That's got to be the most boring place I've ever heard of in my life. I promise you, heaven is not going to be boring. It's going to be amazing. So the first why is to share the good news. Again, it's that song, Stop and Let Me Tell You What the Lord Has Done For Me. If you will just take the opportunity to talk to people, and when they ask why you have hope, why you know, because I used to work as a mechanic on a golf course for years, I used to have kids come up to me all the time, and they're like, I've noticed something about you. You don't ever cuss. Why don't you cuss? It's like, that's the door I needed, you know? That's all I needed, was just somebody to ask. And my first response was, because I serve Jesus and I don't think he would like me to talk like that. That's kind of that. The athlete that doesn't live by the rules, doesn't compete by the rules, you know, God said don't let anything unwholesome come out of your mouth. So that's profanity. Some of it's just the way you say things. You can be very unwholesome and speak the truth. We're supposed to speak the truth in love. We're supposed to be like Jesus. We also need to mentor others. It's important not just to share the good news, but to mentor others. I will tell you this. If you find somebody that's young in Christ that you can mentor, you'll help them become closer to Jesus, but you'll get closer to Jesus too. Because if you teach Sunday school, you probably actually learn more in prep for the lesson than your students do while you're teaching them. It's just part of the process. And so becoming a mentor is not just good for the young Christian. It's wonderful for the mature Christian to keep that fire burning. And we're told in the Old Testament, never let the fire go out. And then the other thing is, we need to learn about God. And we need to learn how to do this, because we need to stay focused. There are tons of temptations out there in the world that want to take our eyes off God, that want to distract us. I was talking to somebody this week about something, and I said, I wonder when you go to church this week, how many people will talk to you about what they read in the Bible, what they studied this past week, or will they talk to you about what Elon Musk is doing? And that's how Satan distracts us from what's really important. Yes, we need to be concerned with our government. Yes, we need to be good citizens. But there's a point where this passage calls, I think in the King James, it talks about just, you know, idle chatter and just stuff that really doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things. There's a balance, don't get me wrong, and I get that. But we need to stay focused. We need to keep our eyes upon Jesus. There's a song growing up. Again, somebody said something to someone, I think it was on Facebook, says, why do we preach or teach so much stuff in song? You know, growing up, my kids went to a charter school. They taught them facts about stuff in song. Those kids would go to home and they would be practicing this song. And because of that way they learned, I know things like Montgomery, Alabama, Juneau, Alaska, Phoenix, Arizona, and Little Rock, Arkansas, Sacramento. I mean, I can do all the capitals because you learn stuff through music. And one of my favorite songs is Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and His grace.
Amen.
I want to know enough about Jesus that when I get to heaven, I can keep my head up. I don't want to be ashamed of what I didn't do, of what I could have done. And that's your application this morning. Do we know enough to keep our heads up? On the day that I meet Jesus, I don't want to say, I wish I'd have got to know you better before now. I wish I'd done more stuff for you. I wish I'd told more people. I want to love God enough to really live for Jesus. Because I serve a God who's beyond words. And as we leave this morning, we're going to sing a song that says, indescribable. And it's amazing to me how I choose music, quote, I choose music, I don't choose music, how God chooses the music 3 or 4 days before He gives me a message. And then I see how He fits everything together. Because we need to understand how indescribable God is and how much He loves us. Let's pray. Let's stand. Father, we want to love You with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. That's our first commandment. That's the first rule. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Help us, Father, to do that as well as we can. And when we do that, then we'll be able to love our neighbor as ourselves. I thank You for saving me. I thank You for saving many of the people in this room. I thank You for dying for everybody. Help us to live for You, Jesus. I ask this in Your name. Amen.